Hear the word of the Lord for our meditation this day. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that St. Paul shares his heart with the people in the church at Philippi. And he shares with them his longing and his love and his passion for them. And Lord, we pray that we would have a passion and a love that reflects your love for us. That we could share this love and that you would bring it to completion in us. That we would be able to know the depth of your love for us, so we could in turn show that love to one another. So we would be prepared for what is to come. That we would be prepared for whatever may come our way. So we can stand together and know that you are going to bring about your will among your people. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And this is my prayer. Whenever St. Paul says this, you know he's sharing his heart. And you know, Paul's an interesting individual. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write many letters. Without him, our Bible would be a lot smaller. And yet, a lot of times, you know, when you read Paul, you think that he's really very cerebral, right? At least that's the way I read him. He's very theological. He's very detailed. He writes in a way that especially in Romans and other in the other letters, that seems very practical. And yet, whenever he comes to these passages that where he really shares his heart, and Philippians 1 is one of those places where he really shares his heart, he says all the time when he shares his heart of love with the people, he says that it's in line with the heart and the love of Christ Jesus. You notice that? He always says that his affection, his love, his passion is in line with Jesus. And I think as the Lord is preparing us through this season of Advent, it seemed very appropriate to me that we look at what it means to be passionate. Because a lot of times the word passion has been negative. Because this same St. Paul often warned us about unbridled passion, did he not? He warned us of letting the passions of this world get the best of us. He warned us about letting the love and infatuation of the things of this world keep us from focusing on the love of the Father for His people and His church. Brothers and sisters, I know that there are negative sides to passion, but I would love to and desire to pastor a church where we are passionate about the call that God has given to us. Where we don't look at passion as a negative, but we look at it as a positive because it reflects the Father heart of God. A God who so loved the world that He was willing to give it all for us. A God who was so passionate about us that He was willing to die on the cross. There's a reason why all the movies you see about Jesus' last days are called what? Passion. Because it is His passion, His love, that kept Him on the cross. It is His passion, His love for us, that kept Him going to that on that journey to death for us. Brothers and sisters, my desire, my heart, My passion as a pastor, you're going to hear this over and over again, is for you to have your heart, your love, your passion be in line with the Father heart of God, to be in line with the affection, love, and passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that your passion would be aligned with His passion so that you can go out and share among the people of God and among your family and friends and those people you come into contact with, that you would be passionate about what God is doing, has done, and will do in your life. I mean, some of us just don't have that great of a testimony, you know? I often wish that I would have had a worse time in my rebellious time in my life, because then it'd make for a way greater testimony. But the reality is, I'm thankful that I didn't go through that. I'm thankful that the Lord kept me from going in that. Probably knew I was a weakling. Probably knew I wouldn't handle it very well, because He does say He's never going to tempt us beyond our ability to. And so we know that our Lord's passion is for us, as St. Paul says. What does he say? He says to the people at Philippi this. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection, passion of Christ Jesus. For me, as a pastor, where I have found the greatest joy is when I can see the people of God, the children of God, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the people belonging to God, when I can see you know your gifts, know what God has gifted you and how God has gifted you, so that you are using them to His glory. When you are in the right place, in the right job, in the right calling, that you can use your passion that God has given to you and use it for God's glory, so much so that you not only enjoy what you're doing, but your joy is something that everyone can see. Your passion is something that just draws people's attention. In my first church that I went to after my vicarage and I was ordained and I went to placed in my first church, it was really interesting because at one of the first council meetings, I found out that what happened on the council at this first church, it was called Trinity Lutheran in Wilkie, Saskatchewan, was that there were a group of men who had always been on the council since the beginning of time, and they really believed what St. Paul said, that he would bring it to completion. And so what they did was every time the elections came up in the Constitution, they just switched positions, except for one. They kept the treasurer in the same job. Because you can't, you know, you got to be careful about money, right? And the reality was when I got there, I found out that the treasurer, and he was a great guy, he's an awesome guy. I love him dearly. He's gone to be with the Lord now. And he was just a wonderful man. But you know what I found out? That wasn't his passion. His dad said, you should do this. And so when he was 18 or 19 or wherever he became on the council, guess what? He did it. And he wasn't a complainer. He was that type of a guy. You know, he just was a good, solid Lutheran. He figured, well, you know, you just do it, right? Just smile. Just do it. And yet it was so amazing because you know what I found out during my time there? Is he loved to be part of new things. He loved it when we said we're going to plan a mission. He was so excited about it. He would drive up from his farm and be there. And even after I left, and even after that mission was struggling, I heard stories from people saying he would go there once a month just to be there with the people and to bless them. And he just had this passion for doing mission work. And it was so funny because I finally said to him after about 2 years there when I gained his trust, I said, do you really want to be the treasurer anymore? What do you mean want? His response. I was like, what? No one ever asked me, what do you want? You did what you did. You had to do, right? And I remember just the freedom that he had when I said, you don't have to do this. There are other people in the congregation, as a matter of fact, I know two of them, who actually like doing this. They do. It's hard to imagine, I know. But there are people who like to count things. They do. Really, seriously. The people that like to calculate things out and make sure the bottom line works, right, Gene? Yes, yes. There are people like this. And I remember the feeling I had when we had that discussion, and I remember it was in the narthex, which is really small, basically the entrance to our church. And I remember standing there on the steps and talking with him, because he was a real tall guy. So I always felt like I had to stand on the steps to really talk serious to him, because I had to look him in the eye. So I had to go up 3 steps. I mean, I'm not joking. I'm telling you the truth. This guy was tall. And I remember standing him down, you know, and saying, you got to realize it's okay. It's okay to do, when you're serving the Lord, to do the stuff you enjoy. There's nothing wrong with it. It's okay to work in the areas that you're passionate about. It's okay to say, you know, I'm really not passionate about this, but I have this desire to do this. I believe the Lord's going to draw people to the church so that those positions will get filled. Amen? I just believe that. I believe there's a reason why some churches don't have people like that, because they never let them come in. Because they've got people who don't like doing what they're doing in those positions. It's weird. And so the only way I can express this is I was trying to think of what could I give it as an example. And the best example I can share of how it feels to me as a pastor, how my passion, I think, is aligned with the Father's passion when I see people in the right job doing the things that they are gifted and excited about, and what the joy that I see in them is when I was learning to drive a truck for the first time. I like driving. It's something I enjoy doing. And I grew up around trucks and still have a few. And I remember the first time I was given the privilege of driving a rig. And I just desired that. You know, I was tired of the 1 ton and the 5 tons, and I just thought, I wanna drive a big truck, you know. And I'll never forget going and sitting there with my dad, and he's explaining to me how to double clutch. Now this is gonna sound weird, because even large trucks now have automatic transmissions, which just amazes me. But you know, back then it was, have any of you ever had to double, you know, drive a large truck and double clutch? Yes? And he was getting kind of frustrated with me, because it took me a little while to figure this out. But you know, there were 13 gears, and you had to double clutch in order to get the gear into gear. And it must have been a painful experience for him to sit there for the first little while, because there was a lot of really, really bad noises. I have to tell you, there's a lot of pain going on there for a little while. But you know, there was nothing better than the feeling of when I finally figured this out after a long time of practice, and when we could go down the road and I could shift and it would go into place. And then I'd shift again and it would go into place. And you get on the highway and you're cruising down the highway and you put it into a gear and everything just goes real smooth. Now, not all of you had that experience, but you probably had experience similar to it. And there's nothing like it. At least that's the way I felt. Because it was such a struggle to get there. And when it was finally going smooth, it was an awesome, awesome experience. Brothers and sisters, that's what I believe the Lord is preparing us for. He is preparing to bring us to a point of completion where we will see that our passions align with His passions. Our passions for whatever it is, whether it's healing ministry, whether it's counting, whether it's the treasurer, whether it's, I don't know, being an elder, being a deacon. I don't know what it is the Lord has put on your heart and where your heart aligns with His heart, but I know He's gifted all of us with gifts. And I think He feels the same way as I did when we were finally getting to a point where it was smooth. The Lord must just have great joy when He sees us in the right place, doing the right thing, and being extremely excited and joyful about and passionate about what God has called us to do. Don't you think? So I'm going to ask you, as we go through this Advent journey, we watch and we prepare. And as we prepare, my prayer is that we would do what St. Paul encouraged the Philippians to do when he said this: "And this is my prayer, that your love, your passion, may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best." Discern what is best. What has God called you to do? Today, right after this sermon, we're going to install two people. One who is being employed part-time by us, Renee Albardis, in Community Life and Caring Ministries. She came out of retirement for this. And we're very excited. We're going to install her and she's working part-time for us. And Brian Perkins, who was an elder, but now is, we're going to be installing as Director of Outreach, because if anybody hasn't figured out what his passion is, you ain't been listening. And I'll tell you, it gives me great joy to see people who are using their passion, their gift, in the right way, at the right time, to see God's... I just think He's smiling. I think that our Father is just smiling at us and saying, finally, just enjoy. I've given you a heart and a desire and a passion, and I want you to use your passion. What is it that God has called you to do? And that's what He's talking about here. He says, my prayer for you is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. It's time for us to discern, what is it that God has called us to? What is our gift? What is our passion? What are we doing? How are we doing it so that we may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God? Brothers and sisters, it is a joy to be on this journey with you. And I know when John the Baptist was preaching about repentance, and they thought he was the Messiah, he told them what the Messiah would do. The Messiah would come, and he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Isn't that awesome? And that's what the Lord wants to do today. Because when he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire, what I think is that that's when we get that refining fire that Malachi talks about, the messenger. He says we get a refining fire that's like a soap that cleans us up and helps us to be clear on what our heart's desire is. And my desire for you is that you would be so clear on what your desire is, what your passion is, that you would leave here today and say, yes, I know now how the Lord wants me to serve. Let's be a people who are so passionate for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that people are drawn to our passion. You know that people are drawn to passionate people? You know that? How do you know that? Yeah, that's right. People are drawn to fire. It's true. People are drawn to people who are excited and passionate about what they're doing. I just know this because I can tell you, people are not drawn to people who are going, I hate my life. This is terrible. I can't believe I got to do this again. They're just not drawn to it. How many of you are drawn to that? How do you say, I just want that in my life. I just need more of it. No. We're not drawn to that. We're drawn to people who jump out of bed and say, praise God. I get to share what the Lord has put on my heart today. Whether it's sweeping floors, stacking chairs, speaking in front of people, cleaning up after people, whatever God has called you to do, may we be a people of passion, abounding more and more in the love of God in Christ Jesus, so that our hearts would align with His heart, and we would be a people who are passionate about our God and Savior Jesus Christ and about others. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite Renee.